The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Sun, I say, it's all right.
Here comes the sun. Sun, 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 here it comes. But maybe I should be saying, here comes the snow. Snow, 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 here it comes. It may feel like a long and cold and lonely winter as a polar vortex is about to sweep in on us this week, but have faith. Hold on. Know that we are past the winter solstice. Observe that daylight is getting longer each day. Feel the sunlight getting stronger. We're going to make it out of the cold and the dark. While we wait for the coming sun, we can be warmed by the light within each of us, shared among us all in this faith community. Good morning from Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. For those of you on Zoom, thanks to the magic of the internet and our wonderful tech team, we are also as close as your home. We're a Unitarian Universalist congregation dedicated to challenging the mind, nurturing the spirit, and transforming the world with kindness. I'm Preston Lutweiler, treasurer of the Board of Trustees, and I want to personally welcome you this morning, wherever you are on your life journey, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, whomever you love, whatever your identity or expression, we welcome you into our circle of compassion and caring. Our humble little UU congregation is honored today to be blessed with the presence of the Reverend Betty Wright Riggins, an American Baptist ordained minister. She's the CEO of Trust One Ministries and currently serves as the chaplain and director of religious and spiritual life at Ursinus College. She is adjunct professor at Eastern University teaching Christian spirituality. She's a spiritual director on staff at the Middleton Counseling Center in Bryn Mawr and provides spiritual direction at the Commonplace in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We were just talking about life in retirement and, you know, I'm retired, Linda's retired, Betty's retired. Yeah, we're retired. She's a contributor to the recently published book, Kaleidoscope, Broadening the Palate and the Art of Spiritual Direction, and the classic, Those Preaching Women, Volume 1. Reverend Betty is a founding member of Rhythms of the Spirit and currently serves on the advisory board of American Baptist Women in Ministry. Reverend Betty is married to Reverend Dr. Aidson Wright Riggins. Many of you may know that. He is the mayor of Collegeville, and we know him as Reverend Ace. Reverend Betty's message for us today is about finding light when surrounded by circumstances that render us hopeless and helpless. Sometimes truth and a path forward is discovered by not trying to run from the dark times in our lives, but leaning into them. Often clarity comes when we embrace the lessons that can only be taught during the dark times in our lives. Reverend Betty's message, Linda, you want to come up? You're going to help me with the chalice lighting, right? We're going to do the chalice lighting now. And Reverend Betty's message should resonate with us as you use. The flaming chalice officially became a Unitarian symbol during World War II, and more on that in my closing words. But it had long been a symbol of religious liberty and political resistance in the face of oppression throughout Europe. Now, Linda will light the chalice as I read words from...
I'm having a little difficulty.
You need a charge.
I don't know what I did.
I think I...
Okay. I called for Phil for help.
In the soft light of this flame, may our lives shimmer anew. May we notice new possibility in those relationships that seem lost. May the turning of the year give birth to a dream. May the emerging light pull a new story into view. May what is give way to what might be. May we believe again that there is a tale of the world still waiting to be written. Now Linda will light the peace lamp, and please repeat with the words on the screen. I think she will. May peace be with us.
And with all the people of the world.
Well, you give me one job.
Our gathering song, Abide, is written and performed by Kerry Newcomer with words from Parker Palmer. The words will appear on the screen, but if the song feels unfamiliar, you don't need to sing along. There are some beautiful images on the screen, and you can breathe deeply, seated or standing, and enjoy the song as a meditation. If you choose to stand, please go to the side so that the people behind you can see the screen.
I will bring a cup of water, here's the best that I can offer. In the dusk of coming night, there is evidence of light. With the pattering of the rain, let us bow as if in grace. Consider all the ways we heal and how a heart can break. Oh, abide with me, where it's breathless place and it's empty. Yes, abide with me, and we'll pass the evening gently. Stay awake with me, and we'll listen more intently to something wordless and remaining, sure and ever changing in the quietness of now. Let us ponder the unknown, what is hidden and what's home, and finally learn to travel at the speed of our own souls. There is a living water, a spirit cutting through, always changing, always making. Gently stay awake with me, and we'll listen more intently to something wordless and remaining, sure and ever changing in the quietness of now. It's like a message in a bottle that some unseen hand has thrown. You don't have to be afraid, you don't have to walk alone. I don't know, but I suspect that it will feel like home. Oh, abide with me, where it's breathless and it's empty. Gently stay away with me, and we'll listen more intently to something wordless and remaining, sure and ever changing in the quietness of now.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that. And now we're going to have a brief moment for all ages. We're just going to have a song, and it's going to be a simple little song. It's going to be This Little Light of Mine, performed by some puppets. The words are simple and will appear on the screen. I want you to all feel free to sit or stand, sing, clap. You know, go a little crazy, because this is a fun song. The message, though, is important. There you go. That's what I'm looking for. Okay.
This little light of mine.
Well done, everybody. And now, if we can sing out our littles. And
okay, you're gonna sing some more, right?
If you ask us.
You guys are better than Sesame Street. That was great. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is indeed a wonderful privilege to be with you. And I am grateful to Linda and to Preston for the invitation. What is really wonderful when you go to a place that you have been before, and you've been there often, I kind of feel like home when I walked in and the person said, "Don't you have a name tag?" That means I'm home. So thank you for that. And I also want to give greetings to my friend, your pastor. Andrew is wonderful, and he was our baccalaureate speaker last year. Absolutely amazing. And so I have the gift of being with Andrew once a month when our ministerium, the Trap Collegeville Ministerium, meets. And we try to kind of huddle together, you know. We want to be friendly to everybody, but nonetheless, we're kindred spirits. So please know, he represents you well. He is a wonderful human being. The text this morning is grounded in Eugene Peterson's The Message, and it's found in John 1, 3 through 5. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of darkness, and the darkness could not put it out. I pastored the First Baptist Church in Manchester Center, Vermont, and we lived in the parsonage. And on a peaceful night in this beautiful little town, my husband and I were abruptly awakened from a sound sleep. It was very late. I jumped, as did he. We looked at one another, and both of us startled, and we were a little scared. He hesitated, looked at me, I looked back at him, and it became very obvious I was not going downstairs. So he creeped out of bed, went down those winding staircases, trying not to make noise. But it was an old, old house, and creaks were everywhere on the flatboards. All seemed quiet downstairs. The uninvited noise stopped. Moving toward the kitchen, I heard him yell. Then there was this loud bang and clanging sounds, sounds you never want to hear in your kitchen late at night. My husband screamed, "Joy!" He calls me Joy. "Joy, Joy, open the front door. Open it wide." I ran down the stairs, opened the front door, and be understanding, I hid behind the front door. 8-San had a broom, and he was battling what looked like air. It soon became clear that there was a bat in our home, and he was fighting with it, battling it in the dark, swatting it with a broom, trying to shoo it out of the front door. Barbara Brown Taylor has written a thought-provoking book called Learning to Walk in the Dark. And in it, she contends that how my husband handled that bat is how we handle the darkness that visits us in our lives. Succinctly put, Taylor says, we are afraid of the dark because we know that bad things happen to good people. She asked us to consider, what would happen if we did not fight or strategize around our dark time? What if we didn't try to ignore, curse, or become paralyzed when darkness invades our well-ordered routine lives? What if we propose to move through our dark times with a rhythm of hope and curiosity? Curiosity to learn the lessons that are inherent in the dark times. What if we could meet God in new ways in the dark. What if God walks around in places we never imagined God would be? Now, I'm not sure if you've ever thought about it, but we are confronted with darkness all the time. Our modern lexicon and the language of the sacred text are filled with words and metaphors that are emotionally laden and encased in shadow and negativity. Words like fear, anxiety, sad, anger, frustration, rage, void, and empty. We, who are Christians, have even doubled down on reinforcing negative connotations of darkness when describing our beliefs. Darkness is often a synonym for sin, ignorance, spiritual blindness, even death. Christians divide reality into opposing pairs. There's good, there's evil, and evil is always dark. There's the kingdom of God filled with light, and there's Satan's realm, the world filled with dark, shady goings on. There's spirit and flesh, sacred, profane, and if it's not light, then it has to be dark. And yet the Holy Scriptures declare that we are people of the Word, and God is light, and there is no darkness in God. But we forget that in several of the creation stories, the God who created the light separated the night from day, kept the darkness. We forget that the God who moved upon the face of the deep kept those depths and created living creatures who not only live, but thrive way down deep on the ocean's floor. God created dark, and we do everything we can to eliminate it, limit it, avoid it, or have any contact with it. We have literally lit up the world. My dad visited from Los Angeles. That's where I'm from. You hear H.N. say all the time that he's from Compton, California. I'm from Los Angeles, California. So Dad visited, and we were driving back to my house. I'm here in Collegeville, and it was night. And I could feel Daddy's body. He began to wring his hands and shift in his seat. He wasn't looking ahead, he just decided to look at me. Then he said, "It's too dark out here. How do you know where you're going? Where are the street lights?" You see, Los Angeles is sort of like Las Vegas. It's awashed in light. Theologically, we have even constructed a Jesus devoid of dark emotions. We teach in hushed tones, if at all, about the wrath of God. We tone down Jesus's anger moments, and we speak of him turning over the tables in the temple maybe once a year. We skip over the Book of Lamentations in the Bible when searching for something inspirational to speak to our sad and depressed moments, and we push away the beauty and the honesty of the songs that describe the silence of God in the midst of great sorrow. We ignore that the God of light called Moses to the mountaintop, a place that could not be seen, for God had shrouded it in fire, smoke, and darkness. Moses was commanded more than once to go where no one had ever gone before. And he stepped into the holiest of holy spaces, the place where God resided. And that was in the dark. I wonder, what would happen if we stepped into our dark spaces where God is? Barbara Brown Taylor continues, much of our fear when darkness enters our lives is that we can't see God. But we forget, she reminds us, that God can always see us. Some years ago, my boys were very young, and Aitza and I took them camping in the woods, you know, the redwood forest of Sequoia, beautiful place. Aitza has fond memories of outdoor camping with his dad and his siblings. Me, outdoor camping means sleeping at a nearby Marriott. There was this tour with the ranger, and the tour was to visit a cave. The boys were very excited. So we hiked up the path to the cave, and the ranger cautioned us to stay close, not to wander. We bent down, we entered the cave, and started moving forward. We all had our flashlights. The deeper we traveled into the cave, the darker it became. Even with our lights on, seeing was really difficult. When totally inside the cave, the ranger gathered us all in a circle, and he said, turn your lights off. Do not turn them back on until you're instructed. We turned our lights off. We turned our lights off. No, you don't understand. We turned our lights off. I understand now what that phrase, pitch black, really means. I held my hands up close to my eyes and I couldn't see them. I reached out to anyone who would be standing near me or close to me, and I couldn't find them. And I quickly became disoriented. I whispered my kids' names, but I couldn't hear them. But I could hear something. I heard strange sounds I had never heard before. It was the beating of my own heart. It was the repeated hurry in my breathing. I heard my inside screaming to get out of that place. My stomach got queasy and my head began, my mouth got so dry, I couldn't swallow. I panicked. I was terrified. I'd forgotten all about what the ranger said, that he would be close to us. I responded as if I was alone in that deep, dark space. Everything I thought I knew vanished. Then what seemed like forever, I heard a loud, clear voice. Initially, I still couldn't focus, nor could I make out what was being said because it sounded like it was far away and coming from an unfamiliar place. Turn on your light. turn on your light. Well, it was a frightening time, a scary time, a time when I knew I was alone in the dark. Taylor says that sometimes we've got to go through dark times to know that there really is a God who's inside of us, who sees us, who helps us, who knows what we're going through. Sometimes, Taylor says, we have to go through very difficult times and learn to be what she calls dark walkers. Learning to walk in the dark is important because darkness will come to us over and over along our spiritual journey. She contends to truly know God, who is our refuge in times of trouble, we really may have to go through trouble to be grounded in the holy, to be grounded in the strength of the holy when we are at our weakness may require us to be knocked to our knees, to know how to be silent, how to be still might mean that we've got to stumble from chaotic situation to chaotic situation. Learning to be patient and to actively wait for direction might demand that we encounter difficult times. It is through the difficult times we discover the depth of the light that is within us. It is in the silence of God times that we learn to seek God's face and pray without ceasing. And it is in the times of breaking and chiseling and molding and reshaping that our countenance becomes closer to the image of our longings. And in the midst of these sobering realities, we can be courageous. We can be faithful. We can learn the lessons that are waiting for you and for me if we decide not to run from the dark, but to embrace it and seek the lessons therein. Amen.
Thank you, Betty. And as we transition into our matters of the heart, we're going to hear a song by Carrie Newcomer again. Treat it as a musical meditation and just listen to the words, the music, and look at the images. And then Nikki Mulholland will lead Matters of the Heart.
If not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when. We may never see this moment or place and time again. If not now, if not now, tell me when. I see sorrow and trouble in this land. I see sorrow and trouble in this land. Although there will be struggle, we'll make the change we can. If not now, if not. not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when. We may never see this moment, place and time again. If not now, if not now, tell me when.
I may never see the promised land.
I may never see the promised land.
And yet we'll take the journey, and we'll walk it hand in hand. If not now, if not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when. To mend, it will take a change of heart for this to mend. But miracles do happen every shining now and then. If not now, if not now, tell me when. If not now,
if not now,
tell me when.
Tell me when.
If not now. Shining now and then, if not now, if not now, tell me when. If not now, if not now, tell me when.
Raise your physical or virtual hand or type in the chat. Please start with your name. Thank you.
Well, we're going to wrap up Matters of the Heart with our traditional hymn number 123, Spirit of Life, by Carolyn McDade, performed by Michael Tacey. The words will appear on the screen. Please feel free to sing along. You should be familiar with this one. It's going to run through twice. We've had this before, so don't be surprised. Just listen the first time and sing along the second time.
Spirits of compassion.
Now for my closing words, I'm going to refer to our Soul Matters theme for January, which is living love through the practice of story. And Reverend Betty told us several stories about AIDS and fighting the bat and her fear in the dark cave. And the story of our UU Flaming Chalice is one that illustrates Reverend Betty's message of finding light in times of darkness. In the early 1940s, Lisbon, Portugal was the only port in Europe open for millions of refugees trying to escape to the Americas. In 1940, the newly founded Unitarian Service Committee in Boston chose Reverend Dr. Charles Joy to direct the Lisbon office of the USC. Joy had translated the works of Dr. Albert Schweitzer, so he was well known in UU communities and elsewhere. In June of 1940, Waitzel and Martha Sharp, working for the USC, set up operations in the Metropole Hotel in Lisbon, working with Dr. Joy. The Sharps had been instrumental in helping Czech refugees in 1939, and their life is the subject of a 1976 Ken Burns documentary, Defying the Nazis, the Sharps' War. That's another story for another day, but worth looking into. Joy took special interest in helping artists, intellectuals, and dissidents escape the Nazis, and his clientele included many famous authors, scientists, and politicians. Many of the refugees fled without the identification papers that they needed to cross borders. Joy had the Lisbon USC office create its own travel documents and asked Hans Deutsch, an Austrian refugee artist working in Lisbon, to design a seal. The design was the Flaming Chalice. Joy wrote to the USC Boston office, quote, "It may amuse you a bit to know that we are now issuing Naviserts, that's travel documents, to pass emigrants to the New World through the British blockade. We are certifying that they are politically safe and sound." Over the course of the war, hundreds of thousands of refugees, including some 70,000 Jews, passed through Portugal. Some with travel documents from the USC with the newly minted seal of the Flaming Chalice. So Linda is going to help me extinguish the chalice.
Okay.
This you can do, Robbie. We extinguish this chalice, but the light of love and hope and a passion for justice that we will carry with us into the world. And you can do the peace line. Our closing song is Lean In Toward the Light, written and performed by Carrie Newcomer. The words will appear in the video. There's three sections where verses are followed by the refrain, Lean Into the Light. So listen to the words. You don't have to sing the whole thing if you're not familiar with it, but try to at least sing along with the refrain when it comes around. Lean In Toward the Light.
Winter is the oldest season, but quietly beneath the snow, seeds are stretching out and reaching. carry nothing but what you must. Let it go, shake off the dust.
Lean it toward the light.
Today is now, tomorrow beckons.
Lean it toward the light.
Keep practicing resurrection. No hope, why try anyway? Every kindness, large or slight, shifts the balance toward the light. Waters wide and open wide.
Lean in toward the light.
And don't just walk when you can fly.
Lean in toward the light.
When justice seems in short supply. Every kindness, large or slight, shifts the balance toward the light. The prayer I pray at eventide.
Lean in toward the light.
All left undone, be put aside.
Lean in toward the light.
When forgiveness is hard to find.
They said lean in toward the mic, right? So you can hear. Okay. So we're going to have our announcements now. I'm